Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a week it was in the NBA. Bunch of moves started out on June 30th, and then this past weekend you get the Kawhi Leonard and Paul George news. We'll head out to Vegas right now there for Summer League. That is the former head coach of the Chicago Bulls and also the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that's Tom Thibodeau, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, always great to catch up with you. Thank you for the time, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Well, thank you for coming on. So, hey, like we said in the open, June 30th, we got a lot of news in the NBA with KD and Kyrie going to Brooklyn, Jimmy Butler, who you've coached and know very well, going down south to Miami, and then Kemba Walker winding up in Boston. But we were waiting for that Kawhi Leonard news, and it was crazy how it unfolded. Friday night, you have Summer League, you had the earthquake with the Zion Williamson debut, and then a few hours later, in the middle of the night, we find out Kawhi Leonard's going to the Clippers, and Paul George is going to be joining him with the trade between LAC and OKC. How about this? Because I don't ever recall a free agency period being as wild as this one.
And there's no question about that. I think we have been seeing more movement recently in the last few years, but what's happened this year has been just incredible. And as you mentioned, I think the big thing with Kawhi, like many of us that have been around and know how quiet he is, nothing got out from his side. So no one knew right up till the end, until it was announced, actually what he was doing. There was a lot of speculation, but I don't think anyone really knew until he finally made his decision.
And then the recruitment, too, by Kawhi Leonard. He called up KD first, but KD was a free agent, and he decided to join Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan in Brooklyn. But then getting Paul George, no one could have seen this coming because, as you know, he just signed an extension last year.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing more and more of that now, where guys are pairing up with each other. I think a lot of it stems from the Team USA stuff, where they develop relationships and friendships. And I think they're just watching and seeing how championships are being won. And now we're seeing, you know, I think when you look at the Lakers, once they were able to make that trade to get Anthony Davis, I think a lot of other guys became interested. I think having two stars probably isn't enough right now. And I think we're seeing teams that are trying to put three stars together and go from there. All the teams are trying to catch up to Golden State in recent years. And obviously, I think with Kevin leaving and Clay being injured, it opened up the door in the West. And of course, the same thing holds true in the East now with Kawhi leaving Toronto. I think people feel there's an opportunity at the top now, so people are going for it.
Yeah, and we've seen that change. And maybe next year, you know, I'm not going to be naive here. You'll probably have one of those teams with two stars try to get a third star, and it may come via free agency or via trade. But after having some time to digest these moves, and we have to see how it's going to play out on the court, right now, early prediction, who do you lean towards in the Eastern Conference as the top dog, and who do you lean towards in the West as the top dog as well?
Well, I think in the East, I like Milwaukee. I think they came out of their situation about as well as you could. They had a number of free agents. I think re-signing Lopez was huge. Getting the Middleton thing done was huge for them. They did lose Brogdon, but I think they came out of that great with trade value that they received. And I like the pickup of Wes Matthews. I think he adds a lot, and he fits their system perfectly. And also adding Robin Lopez, I think, was huge for them. So they have a lot to build off of. When you look at their lineup now, they're in a really good position, and I think they can build off last year, particularly when you have a guy like Giannis and you watch the strides that he makes each year. It's hard to say where he'll be next year, but that's a 60-win team that's basically been kept intact. And of course, with Wes Matthews, and if he starts, I don't think they skip a beat. And then out West, I like the Clippers a lot. However, you have to, no one knows for sure how long Paul George will be out at the beginning of the season. But so if they can navigate that until he gets back, I really like their depth. I like the makeup of their team. I think it's going to be a terrific defensive team. And then the guy that I think everyone has to watch out for is Iguodala. If he gets bought out, everyone will be racing to sign him. And if he ends up with the Clippers, and that would be a perfect fit for him, that I think would put them over the top.
Tom Thibodeau here with us on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the injury with Paul George. Really with both those L.A. teams, LeBron coming off an injury, Kawhi has an injury passed, Paul George, as we're discussing, has an injury passed, and Anthony Davis does as well. It may be just the battle of who stays healthy, right, that could decide the Western Conference between those two teams.
Well, yeah, and that holds true for everybody. Everyone's an injury away from things changing very quickly. And I like a lot what the Lakers have done. And obviously, they missed out on Kawhi, but they came out of that really well. I think when they were able to sign Danny Green, Rondo, pick up a Cousins. It looks like they're going to get Avery Bradley. So they have added a lot of quality players to the mix for them. And they'll be right there. I think the challenge for them will be how quickly can they get everyone onto the same page.
And I find it very fascinating what happened East Coast to West Coast in free agency in New York and L.A. You had Big Brother and Little Brother going for similar players. And in New York, it was the Nets because of their stability and culture that prevailed. And with the Clippers, I get that the Lakers were trying to build that super team, but the Clippers already had a good roster, and they were able to track Kawhi, who also brought Paul George with him. And we know how great the Clippers are in terms of front office and also on the sideline with their coach in Doc Rivers. How about what Little Brother and the Clippers and also the Nets have been able to do over the years to put themselves in the position to land the big stars?
Yeah, and I think, and it's a credit to what they've done. And I think when players, particularly the stars, they're looking at situations, I think the big thing is they want to see if feel that they have a good chance to win it. And I think where you are in your rebuilding process is really important. And when you looked at the Clippers last year to be able to win 48 games and have a lot of pieces in place to have a good shot at a championship, I think players project, okay, if I go there and I go along with this player, what does it look like? And if you feel that gives you the best chance to win a championship, you're probably going to lean that way. I think in New York, I like what New York did. They took a shot at it. And there's a lot of risk, I think, in free agency because there's no predicting actually where people will end up. And they positioned themselves to be in that game. Unfortunately, they didn't get it. It appeared as if Durant might consider going there. Kyrie, of course, going to the Nets, and that probably helped them get Durant to go there. But I think the Knicks also came out of it. They've added a lot of good players, good hard-playing players. I think they'll make a big jump because of the type of players that they were able to get. And they have to focus, of course, on the player development of guys like R.J. Barrett and Knox and Mitchell Robinson. But they have a lot of really tough guys. And I think that they're not going to be an easy out for people next year.
See, that's very interesting as we're talking to Tom Thibodeau right now. Because the Knicks are in that spot where, yes, maybe they are an improved basketball team like you're talking about, but with the group of guys they have right now, even with some of the younger players and Knox and Barrett, you're going to need a lot more in this league, as you know, to win a championship. So you get into that discussion, and the Knicks haven't been successful in free agency in attracting those stars. So the other way to build it is just being bad intentionally for the next 2-3 years and keep on getting those high draft picks. So it's always an interesting approach when you have a team that struggles in free agency, and do you want to hang around the 7 or 8 seeds of the world or, just miss out in the playoffs or really just try to get that top 5 pick in the lottery?
Well, I think they're positioned well because they signed these guys to short-term contracts.
Fair.
You have Bullock, Ellington. Ellington's a big shot maker in the fourth quarter. I've had Gibson before. He's a terrific talent, consummate pro. He'll add a lot to the team. Bobby Portis, I love. I think he's got a huge upside for them. And Peyton had a really good year last year in New Orleans. And, of course, Randall did as well. So I think their depth will be good. But again, there's a lot of teams that are very quietly getting better in the East. Now, in Brooklyn, you know, I think losing D'Angelo, they'll feel that some, but of course you pick up Kyrie and Kevin being out for the year next year. It'll be challenging. I love LeVert. You know, I think that's a great pickup for them. Getting a guy like Jordan will be a good addition. Jared Allen, I love. I think he puts enormous pressure on the rim, and he, you know, he impacts shots around the rim. Hard guy to score over. So they've added some really good players, and they have quality depth as well with Dinwiddie and Joe Harris, and I like the Chandler pickup for them. So that'll be a team that'll be fighting, you know, for the playoffs next year as well.
Two other teams I'm very curious about in the East who are going to be in that conversation to try to get to the finals are the Celtics and the Sixers. Sixers say goodbye to Jimmy Butler, but they get Al Horford and they bring back Tobias Harris. They also said goodbye to J.J. Redick. And then the Celtics lost Al Horford clearly and then lost Kyrie Irving, but they added Kemba Walker. How about the state of the Celtics and the Sixers? Did those teams get better?
Yeah, I think the Celtics came out of it about as well as you could in terms of when you lose a guy like Irving, that's a lot to replace. And I don't think you do that individually, but getting a guy like Kemba, Kemba goes under the radar a lot, but he's an unbelievable talent. You're talking about an all-NBA point guard, high character, great teammate. So I think he'll add a lot from that standpoint. I am concerned a little bit about, you know, when you lose a guy like Horford and you lose a guy like Baines and Rozier and Marcus Morris, you're losing a lot of defense there. They picked up, I like the Cantor signing. I think he'll put a lot of pressure on people. But defensively, they've lost some. But I still think they'll be a very good team. And I think for them, I think probably the biggest problem that they had last year was they might have had too much depth. And so I think this will clear things up a little bit. And I expect guys like Tatum and Brown and Hayward to have really big years for them. Of course, I think Walker will be a monster as well. On the Philly standpoint, I think they came out of things pretty well also. Obviously, re-signing Harris was huge. I think Josh Richardson will be a good replacement for J.J. You know, puts the ball in Simmons' hands probably a little bit more. But I do think they'll miss Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. I think we all saw what Jimmy brought to that team, and they'll have to, you know, replace that. That won't be easy to do.
What did you make of Jimmy's decision to head down south to South Beach and join the Heat?
Yeah, you know, I think all these players have earned the right to really choose. If you're a free agent, you can decide where you want to play, and I think that was a big part of his decision. I like the Miami part of it for him. I think it'll be a great challenge. They're positioned well to go forward. I think when you look at what Pat Riley has done over there and Eric Spoelstra over a very long period of time, they've shown they've always had the ability to build championship caliber teams, and they've done it several times now over the last two decades. So I think that's what Jimmy's counting on. I know when we made the trade in Minnesota to bring Jimmy there, it opened up the door for us to get a lot of other players who wanted to play with him. So I think that'll happen in Miami. I think Miami's been, when you look at their history, one of the few places that has always attracted free agents. I think the Lakers and Miami have been at the top of the list. And, you know, now we're seeing some other teams jump into that as well.
Like you're saying, very solid front office structure with Pat Riley being there and a good coach and Eric Spoelstra. We hear Jimmy Butler, though, talk a lot about winning. Were you surprised, though, that he left Philly? Because that's a team that's already in a winning situation compared to the Heat that are still building.
Yeah, I can't answer for Jimmy. Like, he only knows. I know, you know, it's something he wanted to do. He wanted to look around at different teams. So something must have clicked for him. He trusted his gut, and that's where he ended up. And I think they have a lot of good pieces. They could stay healthy, and they're probably one or two moves away from being in contention.
And maybe Russell Westbrook could wind up there via a trade. Who are some teams that maybe could make sense for Westbrook, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, where OKC is now and making the moves. And I think the Paul George thing, you know, I thought Sam Presti did a great job He got a lot of assets, and they're still a team. And I think, you know, they've just moved Jerry and Grant too. But I was just looking at their depth, and you know, that's a team, because you can't forget that they were able to get Gilgeous-Alexander and Gallinari. And so they have Schroeder. They have a lot of guys there that they can play. Of course, Steven Adams, Russell. Russell started the season slowly last year because of his injury, but that team won 49 games. And so I don't think Sam will jump the gun on this. I think a player like Russell, you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. And he's an incredible talent. But I think, you know, a lot of teams, when they find out a player of that magnitude is available, they'll make a run at him.
Last one for Tom Thibodeau here with us, writer of the news, Zach Gelb in for Bill Ryder. I want to just get you back to the Clippers, because you have a great relationship with Doc Rivers. We talked about adding their two big stars in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to a team that was already deep and was a playoff team, and also is really a great defensive team now when you look at it. For Doc, when you bring in two new players that are obviously very big names in the league, and you already had a playoff team, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to manage all the minutes with the injury pass, with load management, and then also how you fit everyone onto the court with the amount of names that you have, what are the biggest challenges right now that you look for Doc Rivers in making sure that this team does reach their potential that everyone's now talking about, you know, could be a team that could be going to the finals?
Well, I think for all teams that make a number of changes, the biggest challenge is how to get everyone onto the same page as quickly as possible. And I think the start of the season will be critical for them. But then you strive for that improvement and to try to build the habits that will make you successful in the playoffs. But I love their depth. I think when you look at, Patrick Beverley, re-signing him, I think was huge. We all know how dynamic Lou Williams is. And then when you look at Shamet and Magruder, that gives them depth there. Paul George, and then you have Harkless backing him up, and you know, there's a lot of versatility amongst all those guys. Re-signing Jermichael Green was huge. Zubac was big, re-signing him. Harrell, of course, has been terrific. And as I said, I think when you add the caliber of players of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, those guys are going to attract other players. Other players are going to want to go there. So, as I mentioned, I think both the Lakers and the Clippers are, if Iguodala does get bought out, I think they'll both go after him extremely hard. And he's an unbelievable talent, and he always plays his best in the playoffs. And he's just such an all-around player. I think people sometimes forget how good he is. But I would imagine there'll be quite a battle to get him to sign.
Coach, hey, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy Vegas. Thanks once again for making a few minutes for us.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.